ba bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba
Wednesday. I almost forget, and then I can't
Please
let you
don't
down.
Forget. Please don't forget, because then the listeners will go, we don't know what date. We want to enjoy the show, but we don't know what date is. Hi, everybody. I'm Bill, and that's Wendy. She's the reminder of what day of the week it is. welcome to the program. It's online. It's on the stream. It's a bonus hour. You don't pay for this hour. This hour is free. The rest of it...
As it should be.
Yeah, you get what you pay for. I think we prove that on a daily basis. I have to be honest with you. I'm just slightly perturbed at Mike Pence, who is just spoke a little while ago. We just ran his speech.
He was in Chile.
He was in Chile, and he was asked the question, and it's a good question. Do you agree with the president's assumption that both sides had some good people on it? All he had to do was say no, and he refused to say no. He did what politicians do best, which is they listen to the question, and then they answer a question that was not asked.
Yeah, I mean, he said that he agrees with Donald Trump's comments about that it's a horrendous thing that happened. But the way he made it sound was almost that he agreed with what the president said about both sides were at fault.
Yeah.
That's when you specify and you say, I agree with the president that, you know, it's a terrible situation that happened. However... I don't put blame on both sides. Just do something to kind of remove yourself
right.
from it.
It's not, it shouldn't be hard to do. It shouldn't be.
No.
But for some reason, it has been.
But
I don't know why.
He didn't 100% say, and this is where the spin will happen, he didn't 100% say, yes, I agree with the fact that both sides were at fault. He didn't say that.
Right.
But we are led to believe that since he didn't say otherwise...
I like, and I've only seen this happen a couple times, but I like when journalists ask a question and then politicians play their, I'll answer a different, I heard your question, but here's my answer to a question you didn't ask. I like when a journalist goes, all right, that's great, but here's what I asked you. Anderson Cooper, I've seen him do this several times, where he'll ask a question, not get an answer to that question. He'll go, all right, but here's the question again and throw it out there. Don't stop until you get the answer.
A lot of journalists do that. However, the press corps that was there, because we were listening with Steve Bertrand, and I'm like, why doesn't somebody call Pence on it? Like, you're not answering the question. And Steve's right. You typically can't just jump in and interrupt people.
Right. I know.
It's one thing if you're conducting an interview with someone, and then you can go, excuse me, but...
He's also in a foreign country where I believe the precedent is probably, or the more important topic is probably what's going on with North Korea right now, where he is. Maybe more domestically here in the United States, we're more concerned with what exactly has gone on over the past weekend and into the middle of the week. So maybe that plays into it. But I swear, as he was being asked the question, you and I both said at the same time, okay, here we go.
Here we go.
Here's the question. Here it is.
This is your time, Mike Pence.
And then he did not answer the question.
Went into a little invocation about, you know, bless you, and we're praying that things don't escalate.
Yes.
Not answering the question, though.
Right.
What I want to know is where's all the talk about the Russian probe?
Mm-hmm. Where'd that go?
Mm-hmm.
There's back burners, and then there's more back burners, and there's more back burners. I wonder how many of us could keep our job if we were asked a question by our bosses, hey, are the third quarter reports ready? And we just said, and just kind of stalled and answered other questions. And then the boss would go, no, but I asked about the third quarter reports. Are they ready? Because they're due today. Are they ready? Just stall, answer other questions. We would all lose our jobs.
Right, but that's when you would say, when pressed, you would go, Wendy has them.
Yeah, I asked Wendy to do it, and she said she'd have them. And I have a pretend phone call in the other room. I was going the other room.
And, you know, think about it. We all got through high school and college by BSing our way through essay questions. So that's when you learn how to do it, I guess.
Donald Trump has taken that skill set to a new level where if you didn't know the answer about the Magna Carta, you're in history class and they ask you a question about the Magna Carta and you say, the Magna Carta was good for so many reasons. Not for everybody. There were some people that had a hard time with it. But for most people, the Magna Carta changed the world. You know, you just make stuff up. He's still doing that. He did that yesterday.
Listen, I don't...
Was it Frederick Douglass? They asked him about Frederick Douglass.
He thought he was still alive.
He didn't know who he was or if he died or he was alive. People love Frederick Douglass. I'm a big fan. Boy, that Frederick Douglass. Woo! Love him. I hope he breaks the rushing record. I hope he gets some touchdowns this year.
It's pretty big news with all these business guys setting sail.
Jumping ship.
Yeah. I'm a little more optimistic. I say setting sail. You say jumping
They're
ship.
Jumping off the ship.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
But so that's interesting to me.
Yeah.
But nothing is going to change. Nothing is going to change.
I said this yesterday as the press conference was going on. I think this is the beginning of the end. I really do. And I've been thinking that he's only been president since January, but almost every day something happens where you go, is this the one? This has got to be the one, right? This is the one he can't rebound off of. I think this is the one you can't rebound off of. I think. You don't think so?
Bill, I don't know. He's the Teflon Don. He can really say anything. And you know what? If he was doing a good job, just because I don't like him,
yeah,
I would accept it. I would.
Right.
I didn't love George Bush, I'll tell you that.
Oh, I would give him a kiss right now.
I would like to see that.
I would give him a big wet kiss. Because he didn't seem dangerous. He didn't seem right most of the time, but he never seemed dangerous. The first thing I did when I woke up is I didn't look at my computer screen or my phone going, all right, all 50 states are still in place. Okay. With him, there were no surprises, you know.
Oh, with Donald Trump, there's always surprises.
It's like Cracker Jack.
But yeah, well, the Cracker Jack prizes have gotten pretty lame too.
He's
I gotta
the
be
cracker
honest. With you.
Cracker Jack. I don't know what to make of this anymore. And I swear all through yesterday, I kept thinking to myself, when even guys like at Fox News were going, yeah, this wasn't good. This was not good. Then you go, well, it can't be good.
And I don't have a personal vendetta against him as a person. I was not a fan of his television show. I didn't really think of him one way or the other before he got to be our president.
Yeah.
But I just want a president who will represent our country well and make rational decisions.
You got
That's
the wrong
all.
Guy then. He's not your guy for that. That's not what he's made out of.
And it's too late to change. If I hear one more person say, well, he sounded presidential when he gave that little something about Charlottesville, it did sound we wanted to hear.
But the president should sound presidential. That should be the part of the equation that doesn't even get mentioned. That's the given, is that whoever is the president should kind of sound presidential. So when he does, and he has twice or three times since January, we shouldn't be, well, there you go. Now we got a president. Now he's doing everything right. Because any good that he did a couple of days ago when he finally admitted that something bad had happened was all erased yesterday. It was like one step forward, 30 steps back. He erased everything that he did.
Again,
and then reminded us that he's got a vineyard there in Virginia, and it's one of the largest in the United States. He was so proud of that.
Which Jimmy Kimmel said he hears the sale of the white wine is through the roof.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
We mentioned something on the regular part of our radio show. Vice News is a show that airs on HBO, I believe Fridays at 7:30. And there's this young reporter who I do not know enough about named Elle Reeve, who did a tremendous job embedding herself with these white nationalists and just asking them questions. They weren't one-sided questions. She just said, you know, what was your mission today?
Mm-hmm.
What did you hope to accomplish? One time she pressed back one of the heads of one of the white nationalist groups said, you know, I consider it a success, this thing that happened in Charlottesville, because none of our people got hurt.
Yeah.
And she said, well, what about, you know, Heather Heyer, who was hit by the car? And this gentleman, who I don't remember his name, nor do I want to know his name, he said, well, here's what the problem was. We were behaving well, and the other side, they were pushing at his car, so he had no other choice but to press the accelerator, and the people who got hit were just idiots because they couldn't get out of the way of the car.
Right.
I mean, how do you accept that? And kudos to her for not going,
what?
What?
Yeah, I know. I kept thinking that, too. David Duke said something very similar the other day when he was saying that the guy, the driver of the car, was scared because all these people were all around him, and it was a very tense situation for him. So the only way he could react was get in the car and drive very fast. And I don't know how you answer that question with a straight face. I don't know how you go, yeah, that's exactly what happened. It's the people around him who were at fault. It's not the driver who plowed into the crowd. After, it was their job to get out of the way.
After Donald Trump's press conference yesterday, which was basically supposed to just involve the infrastructure, he started, the reporters there started asking questions, and he couldn't help himself. Yeah. I get it. I have ADHD. I really do. I can't ignore things. I'm impulsive. He is exactly the same way. He can't ignore anything because he wants to put his spin on it. He wants to answer and have the last word.
Yeah.
And, at one point, I forgot. I completely forgot my point here. Do you see why I couldn't be president?
Well, yeah. And you were born in a foreign country, right? I'm thinking of Obama. I'm sorry. I always get you guys confused.
I really forgot my point. It'll come back to me. Can we take a phone call?
Yeah.
While I'm thinking?
Yeah. Okay, good. There's a couple on there that I'm a little weary of.
All right. Is this Tim? How are you, Tim?
Good morning, you two, or good afternoon.
What's up, Tim?
Yes. And I'm your greatest Indiana fan again.
Thank you, sir. Cool.
I've got a perspective on President Trump that I think that a lot of people are missing, and that's why they're so frustrated.
What is it?
For instance, you guys have said he doesn't act presidential. No, he doesn't. He's not a politician. He's a salesman. I've been in sales all my life, so I can recognize. He is the consummate salesman. And if you look at it from that point of view, for instance, the reason why we get into sales is for ego. It happens to be we get paid, too. But the biggest thing is it's our ego. When I go into a home and they say, I ain't buying nothing, and then I walk out with a sale, I don't even walk to my car. I float.
Sure.
That's how salesmen do. And what he's doing is acting like a salesman. For instance, when he said, I'm the president. Everybody knows that. But he's got to repeat it for him. And the things he does, I voted for him when he was running because I didn't want the same old, which we would have had it with Hillary, if not worse. And so I wasn't pro-Trump. I was anti-establishment.
I get that.
And that's where a lot of people place their trust in Donald Trump, and I get that too. But, I mean, so how do you feel now, Tim?
Well, I still support. I can tell you what put me over the top because I was vacillating like crazy when the two policies. What finally convinced me to go for Trump was that not only was he not the establishment and he's going to change the same old, I like the fact that he picked up the vice president because I felt he might be a stabilizing force to Trump, and I'm hoping that'll happen.
When?
But between the vice president and Trump, everything was better than going back in to the same old, we're going to lower your taxes, we're going to raise your income, and we're going to make everybody better. That's what they all say and never did. None of them ever did it. But yet every politician on a local level, on a national level, I'm going to get in there and I'm going to lower the taxes, raise your income, and fix all the problems. And none of them ever do. So why would we vote for the same old during the Trump-Clinton election?
Tim,
you're going to get still all of the same.
I'm with you on that part of it. I can't tell you how sick I am of politicians saying, hey, I'm the answer. Every ill that this country is suffering, I'm the guy that could come in and fix that. But with Trump, no one should know this better than you because you are a salesman. You see it in his eyes. You see it. I'm just saying it. Is it true? Is it not true? It doesn't matter. I'm saying it. That's the only thing that matters. That's not the way to run a country.
No, I agree with you on that. And I wish that he had accomplished more things so far. But what he's been doing so far is gratifying his ego.
Yeah, you can tell.
That's what salesmen do.
Yeah.
So if you expect no more from him, analyze what he is, and that'll help you understand why he said what he said, why he did what he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, but sell our country. Don't sell yourself. That's the, all I would... You know what? Have someone be a salesman, but have him sell America instead of the Trump estate.
I hear what you're saying, and I agree with you, but this is all as foreign to him as if I was president. It would all be foreign to me.
But at some point, though, shouldn't... let's say somebody appointed you head lion tamer for the Ringling Brothers Barnum & Bailey Circus. Wouldn't you say at some point, well, that's really nice of you, but I'm not equipped to do that job. I don't know anything about lions. This is a much bigger deal. At some point, somebody's got to say to him, you can't do this anymore. You're putting everyone in danger.
What you're talking about is him refusing the greatest sale a salesman could ever make.
President of the United States.
Jack, I became the biggest, most powerful man, not only in the United States, but the world. Look how big I am. Look at the sale I just made.
Yeah.
I don't think he really expected to make that sale.
No, I don't think so.
I don't either.
All right. Bottom line is, he won, and now he's a sale. But when you analyze him, figure it from that perspective, not as a politician, because he doesn't know politics. And that's why I wanted him. I didn't want him to be all the others.
I get that. You wanted to shake it up. I totally get that.
It shook.
And it shook. Oh, no question. I think he has changed politics forever after.
For the good or for the bad? For the better or worse?
I think it could be both, but in a manner of speaking, all of these politicians and the way they run it all along, realize, well, that ain't going to work.
Yeah,
I got to do something. We got to do something different, and we got to stick with our word and analyze the fact that they're not the most powerful people in the world. They're our servants.
They should be. Yeah,
Tim, we got to run. But thank you for your comments.
Thanks, Tim.
I love you too.
Thank you, sir.
I really do.
God bless Indiana.
Yep.
Thanks. Bye bye.
I turned into Mike Pence there. I just started blessing things.
You did, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Judy Pilak will come by. I don't know if anything's happened in the news over the last couple of days.
Mike Pence will be in my newscast, by the way.
Will you talk about Mike Pence a little bit? Interesting. All right. So that's coming up in just a few minutes. And then we'll talk about something completely different. It's Monty Python with the NWGN.
Thank you, Judy. Is it true that I saw the makers of Tiki Torches said we have nothing to do with this, and somebody posted something, and I don't know what's real anymore and what isn't.
But Tiki Torches are made by several companies, right? There's not one company.
No, it's a brand name.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Of companies make the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like Kleenex.
Right.
I mean, you know, those videos are so disturbing. What happened is so disturbing. But when I see the Tiki Torches, I literally am like, what?
Right.
You know what that reminded me of? You see,
and I went and checked to make sure mine were still in my yard.
Well, you have these big, tough guys, you know.
They're real big and tough.
Holding a tiki torch. At first, when I looked at the videos, first I was shocked that there were so many people behind them. I really was. Second of all, I'm like, are those tiki torches?
Yeah, you know how you knew they were? Because they left the little cap on.
But it reminded me
of... For the citronella?
Right, to put it on when you want to douse it. It was dangling on all of them.
Yeah.
You know all the neighborhood dads that go on the parades pushing the lawnmowers? That's what it reminded me of. It's like it's not scary. And Tiki Torch CEO says he's absolutely appalled.
Oh, good. Yeah, you
at the protesters.
Right.
Heading into Labor Day, Tiki brand probably expected its torches to decorate backyard parties, not waved about in white supremacists. In Charlottesville, the CEO of W.C. Bradley Company, the company that owns Tiki Brand, says he was offended by images of white supremacists marching through Charlottesville, Virginia, using his company's products. I feel bad for that guy.
So let's just check our scorecards. The president of the Tiki Torch Company will come down on white supremacists, but the president of the United States will not.
Well, at least one president did.
Right.
Well, and I now will continue to buy Tiki Torches.
He
doesn't even have to worry. Yeah, I would never... blame
you can't blame him for
no
this.
Absolutely not. If he, you know, especially since he came out, but even if he didn't, it's ridiculous.
But what a good move. WC Bradley CEO Mark Olivey told the Columbus Ledger Inquirer on Monday that the Columbus-based company staff was, quote, appalled and saddened that the torches were used by people who promote bigotry and hatred.
Yeah, I think anytime you hear of a torch being used during a protest, it's always bad.
Didn't we, when we worked at The Loop, didn't somebody do something awful, and when he was in the news, he had a Loop t-shirt on? Do you remember that? I don't remember who it was or what they did, but we were all like, oh, great, he is a listener. That's good news.
Yeah, I almost want to say it was, I know that there was somebody who was arrested for something who had like a Kev Head shirt on
right.
AM1000.
Right.
I totally remember that.
wow.
So many of the protesters who marched Friday carried Tiki brand torches. The Tiki brand is a product of Lamplight, a Wisconsin company that is wholly owned subsidiary of the Bradley Company. Lamplight made a Facebook post on Saturday saying in part, quote, Tiki brand is not associated in any way with the events that took place in Charlottesville and are deeply saddened and disappointed.
Sure.
I wonder how they could tell it was theirs. Maybe it, they are
tell.
Very distinct.
Logo.
Yeah, because I mean, I don't think I buy the Tiki brand.
You get the knockoffs.
I do. Yeah, because I get them at the dollar store. So
yeah, I
don't. No
I
way.
Get the Tiki brand.
So it's surprising that, well.
That's the thing about white supremacists, though, Jude. They're not afraid to spend the money. They're very loyal. They just went by Black and Decker. That's
flame.
The one company they refuse.
They didn't want that flame to go out.
That's what it is. That's what it is. What an interesting couple of days.
Oh,
has it been very quiet in the newsroom?
A couple of days. I'm sorry. 24 hours. It's every day.
Yeah.
And it's not over yet. That's what I fear.
Not.
And then, you know, North Korea is something I'm concerned about as well.
You should be.
Because here's my question to you. Mike Pence was out in Chile, as he mentioned. He mentioned Chile more than Tom Dreesen mentions Harvey.
Wow.
It was weird.
Wow.
He kept saying Chile.
In his slow drawl.
And
Chile.
He was saying, you know, that he now has allies trying to put pressure on North Korea and everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, the tests are not going to be fired as originally stated. I don't trust Kim
Jong-un. Come on, Wendy. He's very trustworthy.
First of all, he said he was going to do the tests in sometime late August. So then in my head, I'm thinking, and I'm not very smart or political.
Today.
Right. If you say, oh, they're going to be expecting them in late August, you turn around and do them like the next hour.
Okay. So I'm not saying don't be nervous, but
I'm
really,
not really nervous.
Yeah,
but
because of course,
I don't trust
where
him.
Are all eyes on our military are right on North Korea right now. They're not doing anything without us knowing about it. And, you know, we do have interceptors, and I keep saying to myself, why would he do it? There's absolutely no benefit.
No.
He doesn't save face. He's gone. He's
decimated.
But
talk about ego like our president has. It's just like a giant
arm wrestling
match.
But you know what? Think about people like that, like Kim Jong-un. He's weak. When it comes down to it, he wants to live.
Well, that's what I like to think.
Absolutely. Men like that, dictators, they don't really have courage when it comes down to it.
And they want to be the ones to survive.
Yeah, great heroes have courage.
But don't you think there's
leaders... those kind of people don't have courage.
Let's use Osama bin Laden as a prime example. He knows at some point it's going to kill him.
They're going to get him.
At some point,
and
right?
And does he ever go out and be the bomber? No. He hides while everyone else does it. Yeah.
All right, so with Trump, I kept thinking this yesterday. With a lot of presidents, they would have the ability to isolate themselves from the general populace and find out what people really think. Now, Trump, his bread and butter is people approving. He wants constant approval. So because he watches so many of the cable news shows, he's got to pick up on the fact that the majority of this country was just sickened by what he did and said yesterday. Does this affect him at all, do you think? Does it make him change any tactic whatsoever?
See, I don't know if it doesn't embolden him more.
I think it does.
Does it make him madder?
Because
he's a person who thinks he's always right?
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, does it finally crack through? I mean, you have to have some empathy and sympathy. You know what I mean?
Right.
You have to have some emotion, and I don't understand how it cannot affect him, but time will tell, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, if he truly believes what he said was correct,
right.
Then no.
Yeah.
Then
which part? The whole part?
Every part
of it?
You know, I got the feeling he was trying to you know, that maybe he could have gotten away with saying, you know, the counter protesters, you can't just use your words. Don't be using your fists and your, you know, but because maybe he could have gotten away with that. Because,
maybe.
You know, it was on both sides. I get that part. But it's not what he said. And I think what he did say is what he truly meant.
But couldn't somebody... I know there was no host of this yesterday. It was him just fielding questions from the press. But couldn't somebody have said, Mr. President, just let's go back to a couple of things that were discussed. When you said there were good people on both sides, who exactly are the good people on the white supremacist Nazi side? Who are they?
Oh, Bill.
Couldn't you?
He doesn't give specific answers.
No, it's all pretty
general. What's he going to say? Because when, think about that. If you go and join a neo-Nazi and white supremacist rally.
Yeah.
And march with them. You're part of them.
You're part of them. You can't just march and go, I'm only here because I really like that statue and I believe in some. No, it's you're marching because you have the same beliefs.
Right.
Maybe you're not violent. Maybe you, but you still harbor those beliefs.
Right.
Which, when it comes down to it, is about hatred.
Right.
And when we talked to our terrorist expert, Tom Mikaitis, earlier, yes, the white nationalists were not violent. They weren't doing anything, but they had shields and protections. This one guy had like 5 guns on him and a knife. He knew it would invoke violence from the other side because they're saying horrible things.
It's just awful.
That you can't stand by and let someone say.
And that, and to me, I can't believe I'm hearing in this day and age. I'm like, what did they just say? Did you see that? I think it was from Vice.
We've talked about this.
It's really good because, I mean, just because I didn't, you know, it's hard. When you look at the videos, it's hard to see. Now, and the president didn't bring up like the people who he called the counter protesters and dressed it all in the black with the sticks.
The alt left.
But I'm like, I think those were the alt right. Which
I do too.
Yeah, I think it's hard to discern what's going on sometimes in that. But when you see this video,
it's
Vice News. They are very clear.
Timelines showing
who
it is.
And what their words speak, they say exactly what they mean.
This little reporter, and I know I sound like an old lady when I say that, but she looks to be in her 20s to me. Her name is Elle Reeve. We've reached out to her. We're trying to get her on the show. She just asked questions and then.
She was a little confrontational, and I wish she had.
Not a lot.
Not a lot.
She let them hang themselves, so to speak.
She needed to hang with them, right. So I appreciate that because I think I would have been kicked out immediately after I got.
She looked very scared to be part of that.
A little bit, yeah. Well, because when you hear their answers, you're just like, what?
I know.
What did you just say? I mean, it's amazing to me in this day and age. It makes me literally sick to my stomach.
I know. And if you watch this video on Vice News, this show airs on HBO Fridays at 7:30, but it's all over the interwebs. You can find it. I was telling Bill, in my head, I should have been angry, and I wasn't. I wanted to cry, and I felt like I was going to throw up.
Yeah.
I didn't feel anger. Right. I felt sad and nauseous.
Yep, absolutely. Especially the part where he talked about Trump's beautiful daughter.
Yeah,
married,
we were saying the exact same thing.
What?
Because he's Jewish. Jared Kushner
right.
is Jewish.
I mean, then the things that it's so appalling that, I almost can't even comprehend it.
I know.
You know, it's just, I can't even believe these people still exist. And more frightening are now being so vocal.
Right. Right.
And Bill, I remembered what I was going to say when Donald Trump did his press conference yesterday, which wasn't supposed to address the Charlottesville
No, it was infrastructure.
Situation.
That's what it was supposed to be.
Right. And he was supposed to make a statement.
An executive order.
But he couldn't hold back because of reporters jumping out at him and asking questions because of the ADHD. And he went on to say what I said originally, I think was very fine. I just wanted to have the facts. And then he went back to saying, I blame both sides. And then you've got David Duke, who, thank you, President Trump, for your honesty and courage to tell the truth and about Charlottesville and condemn the leftist terrorists.
Yeah.
Why do you?
There's someone who's okay to use the word terrorist.
Well, so why does Donald Trump come out and say, thanks, David, but I don't need your help? Why? I mean, come on.
He should be able to. He doesn't seem to be able to. Judy, we talked a little bit about this at the very beginning of the show. He mentions Heather Heyer's mother, and he says he's not made the phone call yet, which is kind of standard policy in a situation like this for the president to call a family member, but he has not done that yet. What's the waiting time on that before it becomes ridiculous?
No, that call should have been made.
Day one.
Because he's just getting the facts together,
yeah,
you
he's
guys.
Getting the facts.
He likes to know the facts.
He had enough, you know, fact to say that she loved his statement.
Yeah.
The mother, which I really want to go back and see, because I think he said it was on social media that she praised him and loved his statement.
Yeah.
Loved his statement. But yeah, it's the protocol is, you know, you make that call right away.
But after what he said and didn't say yesterday, if you're her mother, don't you say no to that phone call? Don't you say, you know, I don't need this. What am I getting out of you calling me?
Or
right
I,
now?
If I were her, I would take that opportunity to talk to him.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And try to counsel him and let him know what's what.
I loved her words today at the memorial. Go change the world.
Yeah.
Get out there and do something.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's what obviously her daughter did,
yeah.
You know, and it's I think, just wonderful of her to even have those words available in her grief to say that to people.
How sad for both her and for the father, Heather's father, to have to be at a funeral of somebody who was just, honestly, not doing anything wrong.
Exactly. And I'm the first to say, you know, sorry, but those, you know, the neo-Nazis and the white supremacists, and they have a right to say what they want and to march, and they had a permit. I mean, I'm not saying, you know.
I'm surprised they get a permit, though, knowing that
too.
It is so.
Well, they won't again, I'm sure, because of what happened, because that's what I'm surprised, because it's happened before. It always gets out of control.
But they said yesterday or today they want to go back there. They want to march again.
Well, yeah, but I don't think they'll be allowed this time.
Yeah, I mean, someone was killed.
And they went to incite violence.
Right.
They knew very well.
Yeah, well, that's what we say, and that's what people are saying. And, you know, I think their own words say that, but that would probably be hard to prove in a court of law. Because I think at some point, it's a detriment to, you know, it's a safety issue with people.
So it starts out as free speech. Right. That's where
right.
it starts out. But at some point, somebody needs to make a judgment call and say, I get it. It's free speech and you have that right. Unfortunately,
if you say it here with, you know, holding torches, it might incite some violence. Yeah. I mean, I don't really, because I know Mikaitis kind of got into that a little bit earlier on your show. You just don't know where that point is, where,
right.
you know, you don't want to deny someone free speech because it is free speech.
Right.
But, you know,
yeah, but
we deny people permits for, you know, too big crowds, too big.
Right.
We have too much going on that weekend.
Right.
There are too many people walking by that corner. So,
but just so you know, yes, you have the right of free speech, but we don't have the right to have to listen to you either.
Right.
So, I mean, you can.
Well, several people have said, "What if they gave them their permit, and then everybody just stayed away?" But that's easier said than done.
And nobody,
right?
There were no cameras,
right.
And nobody covered it.
So let them have their
that's
little.
That's always the best. That's like my dream.
Yeah. Yeah. But is
but
that
I'm
realistic,
in that field,
though?
And no, it's not.
It's
and
not
we,
realistic.
It's not realistic, and we would still do it because it is news.
It's a news story.
And, you know, and like Mikaitis said, my goodness, when, you know, the amendment was first put into place, there were checks and balances because, you know, the reputable newspaper wouldn't print that.
Right.
Now,
the internet has changed everything.
Everything. And so maybe you do need to maybe go back and look at it in terms of public safety.
Yeah.
Right.
This woman was killed because she was peacefully protesting. It's
right.
It's outrageous.
And somebody still has to disable Donald Trump's Twitter account. Twitter should do it.
Do they have the power?
Do you know,
have they ever done that?
Interestingly, there are, I don't know, you know, billions of people on Facebook. Not that many on Twitter. We hear about it all the time because of the president, but
I'm on Twitter. That's where I get all my news.
Yeah, but in terms, people get most of their news from Facebook.
And, of course, Barack Obama said some statements where he quoted Nelson Mandela, and it was like, we have to be taught how to hate. We don't come out hating. And that was the biggest retweeted tweet ever on Twitter. So I know Donald Trump is... I know he's bothered
beside
by
himself.
That.
Yeah.
Kevin has an interesting stat. Kevin, 974 million Twitter users.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I'm not
and
sure
that
how
is,
active those all are, but yeah, that's.
This is worldwide.
Yes.
And
yeah.
What's Facebook?
I will find out in a second.
What's MySpace?
I still have a MySpace
I just got
account.
On it. They just accepted
my
me
password.
Wednesday.
And I
they just accepted you.
Yeah, this guy Tom.
And my comment about that was in terms of how people get their news. Like on
oh
Twitter.
Yeah.
Twitter is Facebook is. So
but I have my accounts connected, so when I tweet something, it goes right to Facebook. So a lot of people could be doing that,
right.
too. Facebook.
Facebook's looking like about 2 billion, maybe more. I'm not positive.
And how much is Twitter?
B billion.
974 million.
B billion, yeah.
How much is Lego.com?
Like for,
does it
like
say?
Price?
Yeah.
Just, oh, yeah, I don't know.
It's priceless.
Yeah, it is. That's what I'm on. All right.
What will tomorrow bring? You know, stay tuned. What will this afternoon bring?
I guess I'm listening to Rose's show in the afternoon and I hear you do the news and it's like, what?
Yeah, it's...
It's all changed.
I was flipping around yesterday. I just got home from work and I'm flipping around and not expecting anything political at all, just looking for something to watch. And that's when his press conference started. And I don't know what kept me there, because at first you just go, well, he's just going to talk about infrastructure.
Which is what we thought, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you watch just to see when the wheels are going to fall off.
Right.
Now we do.
And it happened fast.
Uh-huh.
It really, and the wheels kind of flew away from the vehicle and down the street.
And wait, is that because I can't even keep track? Is that where he mentioned his huge vineyard?
At the end.
Right. Okay.
Once he was down off the podium, he said, people don't know how much I know about Virginia. I have a house there. I have a vineyard there. It's one of the largest in the United States.
Yeah, you should go. Yeah, he was all like kind
of. Everybody fact checked that. It's nowhere near one of the largest in the United States. But that doesn't make any difference. It's just the fact that he was touting his winery and his house there.
At a time like that. I mean, this is a serious, serious issue and time and moment in history.
Right.
Hey, I got a winery.
Did you ever hear the tape right after 9/11 when some radio station talked to him about New York and what this meant, what 9/11? It was right after it, and he was talking about now one of his buildings is now it moved up in ranks and one of the high it's even higher now.
I remember
that. Yes, he did. And like the whole time you go, you're kidding, right? You wouldn't mention this now, would you?
Oh my goodness, no filter.
My building was ranked 6th, now it's 5th.
Narcissistic.
Wow. When he came here to build his building, I covered him that day. And
he was charming, wasn't he?
He was charming, actually. And Ivanka was here, and his which son? I don't even remember.
Eric.
Ude
maybe
or Kusa.
Eric.
That's
anyway,
too soon.
Yes. And but it's funny. The first question out of the box was, "Do you feel bad? You're going to be blocking the IBM building view?" Mm-hmm. And he said, "Well, no, I got the view." And I was like, "Yeah, you do." I thought that was a great answer.
Yeah.
He's charismatic.
Yeah,
as a television star.
You know?
Do you know the story about how when he built Trump Tower in New York, I don't remember how many stories high it is, but he added an extra 10 stories to the media that aren't true. Like, let's say it's 70 stories.
Right.
He said it's 80. And what he did was he just started the numbers at 10 instead of 1. Like the apartments, there's an atrium in the beginning of the building. And
wait, are you saying he lied?
Yeah, by 10.
He had erectile dysfunction for the building.
He did.
But that's
yes,
how far
did.
Back those... We're just going to call them lies, because when it's not true, it's a lie.
Yeah. Yep.
I know if you're a Trump supporter and you're listening to our stream of consciousness today, you're, you know, mad.
Spitting.
But I hope they're also mad about what he said.
That's all because, I want to happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got to tell you, Jimmy Kimmel, I got to give him credit where credit is due. When he's talking about the last thing that Donald Trump says to us on his exit, when he left the podium and then got sucked back into it and talked about, you know, the largest winery ever. Jimmy Kimmel said, and the best-selling wine at his winery? The White.
How about that?
That is I'm sorry, I have to give him credit.
We'll take a quick break. Judy, thanks for hanging out.
Sure.
We'll close things off next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Well, we got some more hatred going on, and that's on the Maury Povich show every day, so I don't know what to do with my life.
Did you ever see the one where this woman wasn't sure which guy was the father of her child?
And he was sleeping with her sister?
Yeah, did you ever see that one?
Yes, that was my favorite.
That was a great episode. I hope they rerun that one sometime.
How does Connie Chung sleep with him at night? That's what I want to know.
That's it, everybody. That's the Wednesday show. Tomorrow should be the Thursday show, but who knows?
And we'll try to do no politics. Seriously, I know you're into politics a little more than I am. I am not at all.
Yeah.
But that's what's happening right now.
Right.
Every morning I wake up, I hear my phone buzz with some kind of an alert, and I wonder what I'm going to walk into when I pick it up.
Yep. Tomorrow, pretzels and rainbows.
All right. I'm with you.
Half an hour of pretzels, and then we'll do rainbows at...
Can we have stickers, too?
Yeah, there'll be stickers for everybody.
All right.
Scratch and sniff. That's it. There is no more. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.